From Stockcross to Midgham, this is Kennet Radio.
Welcome to this Kennet Radio podcast. We're going to talk about a local business, Kennet Crayfish Company, that has joined forces with a local food writer to produce attractive recipes for the signalled crayfish, which they catch in the River Kennet locally and sell online. It's a sustainable and ethical business done under licence from the Environment Agency. I spoke with Andrew Leach, Managing Director of Kennet Crayfish Company, and Anna Fidler, local food entrepreneur and author.
Hello, Anna and Andrew.
Hello.
Tell us first about the history of the signal crayfish in the Kennet and Lambourne rivers.
It's a bit of a disaster, really. They were introduced into the country in 1976 for a Swedish export market. Everybody was doing it. The market then crashed. And everybody thought, this is not worth doing now. And they just left them alone. And they've just been left to their own devices and breed like crazy and spread. And they've spread all over the country now.
And presumably they're predating things we don't want them to predate.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. They eat all the fish eggs when the fish spawn. So future fish stocks have been affected. They eat all the invertebrates in the river. So obviously that affects the fish as well. And the damage they do to the banks is horrendous. They basically, the banks collapse about 3 foot a year in heavily predated areas, basically. So the rivers get wider, silt up, especially when they're like chalk streams, which is gravel bed. And basically they flood a lot more now as well.
And locally, is that a heavily populated area for them?
It is. The south of England is more populated. This is where the main industry was set up originally because of the good quality waters, basically. And so this is the starting point. So we're tickling away at it at the moment on the Kennet, but the problem is spreading all across the country.
And does this include the Lambourne as well?
Well, pretty much every water space has got them in at the moment in the south of England, pretty much.
And what sort of numbers are we talking about locally in the Kennet?
It's very difficult to gauge. The other year, we took 3 tonne out of a half-mile stretch, which is it's ridiculous numbers. And you can't imagine where they just keep coming from, but they do.
It's thousands of them.
Millions of them, really.
Good Lord. So how did the Kennet Crayfish Company start?
Well, basically, we had a hub. We got a facility on the Kennet, very close to the Kennet, one of the feeder tributaries to the Kennet. We got an abstraction license, and it's the ideal place. There's lots of crayfish. And we ran a cooperative, all the local trappers from the south of England, and basically all the crayfish were sold live and exported out of the country. Hardly any sold in the UK at all.
So what happened with the law change? How did the law change, first of all?
In 2019, the law came in. We had 1 year's grace to be able to carry on doing and try and find markets, etc. But we carried on doing what we were doing for that year because make hay it was, really. And then all of a sudden we realised this is not going to be easy. A lot of money, investment, to be basically everything had to be food approved. Basically, a lot of money had to be spent and find markets, etc. And I got myself in a pickle. All the other trappers had to stop trapping because there was no markets. So hence, I had to get some investment. A local company have come in and helped us substantially. And this is where we're moving forward and we're trying to create a market in the UK.
So you're not allowed to export them?
And you can export them as long as they're dead, but basically, across Europe, everybody wants them live. Everybody wants crayfish live. That's the problem we've got. So, of course, if you've got to basically cook them or anything like that, the price goes up and it's not what they want. So it's trying to create a market with a quality product. That's what we're basing it on.
What are they actually like to eat?
I'm probably better off bringing Anna in on that one because she's a bit of a celebrity cook. I'm like working in a chocolate factory, to be honest. We test them every day, but I love them. It must be
fair enough. And to be fair, I suppose if you think about any kind of good shellfish, crab, lobster, prawn, and you think around that sort of flavour, band, that's really what they taste like. And the texture is very similar. So it's a cross between a prawn and a lobster texture. Obviously, they have their unique flavour. But if you think about that sort of sweetish lobster, crab, prawn, that's pretty much where you're going to get your flavours from.
And in terms of size, how many would you need to make a meal for one person?
It really depends on how big the crayfish are. So I know that Andy, when they do it, they sort of size them. So you can sort of buy medium and large ones, basically. Yeah. So I'd say that if you're looking at large crayfish, if you're having it as your only, you know, meal piece, a lot of people will eat it along with other things, which we can talk about in a sec. Then I'd say sort of 6 to 8 large ones would be great, you know, as a kind of good sized meal for someone.
That's about half a kilo, that is.
Yeah, about half a kilo. Yeah, and I suppose in the States and in Sweden and the Nordic countries where you see this eaten a lot of the times you see people just eating them, just eating the tail. So they kind of do a boil, they kind of crack them open, and then eat the tail, and some aficionados, good word, suck the head, so they suck out the juices as well. But actually, with the larger ones, you'll find that there is also a lot of meat in the claw. So you'll see on the website as we build the recipes out that often you can get as much meat out of the claw as you can the tail. So it's a really good to learn how to make the most of them.
So in terms of comparing them, they sound almost a cross between a large prawn and a crab.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Right. So in terms of recipes and how they're dealt with in the kitchen, tell us about that, Anna.
Well, there's kind of two main approaches. One is to serve them whole, yeah, so in the traditional way. And some of the classic ways are obviously with sort of a cooked in a brine, which may contain things like dill and bay leaves, etc., lemon, that sort of thing. And that sort of points towards the Nordic countries. And Andy, one of the brines that they sell the crayfish in is really based on that sort of flavour band. And then the other is a kind of Louisiana, New Orleans style boil, which they normally add in some quite sort of spicy mix to it. And I know the boys are working on a Louisiana spice mix as well for the crayfish. And then what they tend to do is they add sweet corn and potatoes to the boil. So that
and
they cook
it, as well.
And sausage, yeah. So that cooks in the spice. Yeah. And then when it comes to them being tipped out onto big trays, etc., everyone can then kind of dig in. What we're doing at the moment is developing recipes that allow people to extend that out a little. So classically, I would say the first thing is don't throw away the shells. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of shell and there's a lot of meat kind of inside the tiny joints of the crayfish. So making crayfish stock is a great way to kind of extend the use. And then once you've made the stock, you can freeze it, which means you can then use it to flavour dishes later. And then anything that you would put prawns and crab in, really, and lobster. So we tend to sort of do things like gumbo, which is, again, speaking to that sort of southern part of the USA. So that's using kind of a spicy sausage again, but it's a kind of stew-like dish with rice. Also, I've just finished a few recipes for the guys. One was a crayfish and chili linguine. So again, that classic crab linguine that you see, which is very, very simple. It's just good fresh meat and some chili and tomatoes and some parsley and things like that, just kind of mixed through some cooked linguine. And I've also just done last night a crayfish pad thai. So looking at that sort of, you know, a Thai-based dish. So really just think, what would I put prawns in? And you will be able to put crayfish in the same dish.
And in terms of getting the meat out of the tails and the claws, is that similar to a prawn?
Yeah, so preparing the crayfish is not that difficult. So think about kind of lobster prawn approach. You don't need any special kit, like a hammer or any kind of strange little skewers and things like that. It's quite easy to do it with anything in a normal person's cutlery drawer. An old nutcracker is useful if you have one hanging around, but not really a problem. then what you do is you kind of essentially you disconnect the head, so you can push and twist the head off as you would a prawn.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you need to remove a little bit of the cartilage at the top of the tail, and that will give you purchase. You can grab the tail meat then and pull it out whole. And obviously, if you're eating them on the go, as in at a boil, you would often people would put the tail in their mouth and just squish the tail meat into their mouth. And then with the claw, you can pull it apart with your hands. But if it's big, I tend to use a teaspoon, back of a teaspoon, and just crack it down onto the plate. And then you can use the end of a teaspoon to kind of tease out any meat that doesn't come out easily. And that's it.
Great.
A little bit of practice. And once you get the hang of it, it's a doddle. Don't even think about it after a while.
Yeah. And you say you've got going to have a video about this on your
website. Yeah. So we've just finished one now, and it just gives people that sort of confidence to be able to do it without having to invest in loads of paraphernalia.
Especially trying to educate at the moment, because the new market in the UK is not what people are used to. Yeah. Which we're selling a lot to foreigners, Russians and Ukrainians, and they've been brought up on crayfish. So they know the insides and outs of it, but the English market, it's new. And it's basically giving them a quality product. That's what we're basing the business on.
Yeah. So how would people buy the crayfish?
We're online. We were on the television the other night and the website crashed. It couldn't cope. But that shows that there's a lot of interest. They can be ordered. They can be collected for local people, but it's pre-order because we have to obviously process them. But, yeah, basically the people order online, the size of crayfish, when they want them delivered, and we ship the day before for the next day courier. Obviously,
So to get to your website, people just search for Kennet Crayfish Company.
That's the one.
And how about the sustainability and ethics?
Yeah, sustainability is not really a problem at all. It is a sustainable market because there's so many there.
Yeah.
There's no way we're going to be able to eat our way out of this problem. But we can make a dent in the population, especially with the local areas. So they breed so fast that we don't have to worry about stock, basically.
Obviously, it's helping to reduce the populations, hopefully. What other things are happening? Are there other initiatives to reduce the populations?
We are looking at different avenues for definitely other markets as well and different areas around the country. But it's basically, we've just got to up our sales.
Yeah.
You know, that's the only way.
Are you aware that the Environment Agency, for example, is doing anything to reduce the populations?
They certainly aren't doing anything to reduce the populations. They basically say that the large ones eat the small ones and that keeps the population down. But the fact they've spread across the country, I'm not quite sure that's working.
Yeah.
Basically, in the storage tanks where we store them and purge the crayfish out, the large ones are the ones that are most vulnerable and they're the ones that die first. So if they do die, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
there is, if you like, an indigenous crayfish, is that right? But it's smaller.
Mm-hmm.
The local crayfish, the English crayfish, I mean the native, there's certainly none around here. They've been pushed out. Basically they're outcompeted by the American signal. So there's some when it's far north as Cumbria where they are segregating areas. There's some in Cornwall and there's some in Kent. So you can be, it's basically they're just getting pushed out.
The only way to control them really is to catch them. So whether you're catching them to just kill them because it's a pest, or whether you're catching them to eat them as a food source, and those are really the two choices at the moment. And you know, at the end of the day, when people are much more inclined these days to think about seasonal local ingredients, it's a very ethical way of eating. It's not farmed. There are no nasties. You know, it's something that has not been battery, you know, in a cage somewhere. It lives wild. And therefore, for a lot of people who want to eat more ethically sourced protein, then the crayfish is a great one. You know, add that to the list of things like venison, you know, that more and more people are eating now for the same reasons.
And how are they caught?
We trap them. There's not many other ways. We can't use boats or anything like that on the Kennet. So it's all done hard work up and down the banks. basically they come out to eat at night, so we load the traps up in the early evening, and then in the morning go down and collect them and reload them, and it's never ending. It's continuous, really.
So you don't have to hunt for them there. They're
not really. When you get the numbers down in an area where you are doing heavy trapping, it gets harder and there's selective spots. But pretty much if you go to an area that's never been trapped before, it doesn't really matter where you put a trap.
Great.
Actually, it doesn't matter what you dangle in the water, does it? Because no. I live on the river as well, and when the boys are fishing, then often you'll catch crayfish when you're fishing with a line. And there's just so many of them there that will get the bait.
Basically, with the areas we do trap, the numbers, when we were exporting, we got the numbers down, and we were catching 80% less than we were to start with in the areas. So we knew we're getting the numbers down. And trapping does work. A lot of people say it doesn't, but we know it does.
And it's worth stating that you need a license to do this.
Yes, you do. And basically, you get the license from the Environment Agency. We've got a transport license as well, so we can take them from the river to our storage facility. Anybody else who catches them has to dispatch them at the riverbank, so they've got to kill them in some way before they can take them back. So basically the trappers who work for us up and down the Kennet, we issue them with a transport license, and they bring straight from catch to us.
As you mentioned, you were on BBC South yesterday, weren't you?
Oh, Tuesday, yeah.
Tuesday, right.
And it was shown on sort of London News as well and a few other places.
Right.
But it has gone absolutely crazy since then. We just got people walking in, just saying we want crayfish and all that, because nobody knew anything about us. We had about four people, Swedish people living in Thatcham, and they said, we didn't even know you were there. So we'll be coming to see you every week.
Because
and the good thing is, like the Swedish style, we put in the packs. We sent those off to a couple of people because they've only just heard of us. And they've ordered for the crayfish boil 50 packs, 30 packs, and things like that. So it's a bit of a hit, to be honest. But they didn't know about it. So the problem is we never advertised in this country because we didn't need to. Everything was going abroad. So it's sort of start again for the business, really.
It's exciting, though. I think it's very exciting.
And
I would say it's worth mentioning to keep an eye on the website, because what we're going to try and do is do things like the kind of preparation video, the how-to, and speak a little bit more about that, and then pop recipes and pictures so that we can just get people interested in and sort of thinking about how they can eat them in a different way and what they can use them in. So that will be a ongoing thing for the business. So I think it could be exciting.
It's education, really. It's like a sample.
That's brilliant. Thanks ever so much for talking with us, Anna and Andrew. And best of luck.
Thank you very much indeed.
Take care.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Andrew Leach, Managing Director of Kennet Crayfish Company, and Anna Fidler, local food entrepreneur and author, talking about their business and recipes for the Signal crayfish, which they catch in the River Kennet and sell online. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Kennet Radio. Don't forget you can listen to Kennet Radio on 106.7 FM in the Newbury and Thatcham area, plus online and on our mobile app.
From Newbury's Corn Exchange to Crookham Common, this is Kennet Radio.